You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ball is handed to Temple, surveying the floor, couple of fakes. Got to get rid of it, and he does to De'Aaron Fox. Kings went quickly the last time. Here's Fox creeping forward. He pulls up, 18-footer. De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top. 109-108, still 12 and a fraction seconds to go. Ben Simmons brings it up. He drives to the free throw line, dumps it out to Redick. Smothered there on the perimeter by Fox. Gives to Embiid. Embiid, step back, Jay off the iron. What a rebound! Pulled down by Justin Jackson as time expires, and the Sacramento Kings rally to get the win, 109-108. De'Aaron Fox with his first NBA game winner. Stone cold nerves right there by the youngster from Kentucky, literally mobbed by his teammates, now headed off the floor. And the Kings get back-to-back wins on the home floor at 109-108.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What a night for the Sacramento Kings. As you heard the finish there, De'Aaron Fox, first career game winner. Excellent defense. The final 7 points scored by the Kings. And they win 109-108. A thriller at Golden 1 week. Two in a row for mid-range city. The Sacramento Kings get the win. Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm Jason Ross. We look forward to recapping this one because it was a fun night, and we'll recap that. Also, a question from our Friday mailbag in our final edition of the week here of Locked On Kings. Well, let's do it. Let's jump into it, recap it, because it was a thriller in which the Sacramento Kings really played well. I mean, they did. There was a lot of good things inside the game if we recap it. And same starting lineup. When I got to the game, I was really thinking about the matchup with Philadelphia. The Sixers had won five in a row. And watching pregame warmups, you know, you get a good look at Joel Embiid, saw Ben Simmons, you realize how big Saric is and Covington. I thought, man, kind of man for pound, Kings are going to be giving up size everywhere. And a lot of the NBA is about matchups. And I was liking the way the Kings played the last game. I thought they might play better, but I didn't know how the matchups would play out. And I thought, by and large, the Kings did really well matchup-wise, hanging in there, and then the bench came in and just played sensationally. So a lot of good things from the Sacramento Kings. If we look back at it and recap it, the Kings for the first quarter held Philadelphia under 30 points. May not seem like a lot overall, but Philly had a streak of 7 games in a row in which they scored 30 points or more. So the Kings have been getting off to slow starts. Philly's been getting off to hot starts. It was 26-26 after one. Second quarter, the Kings bench really started to get going. I also thought a key was Simmons picking up his third foul about 6 minutes into the quarter, so he sat the rest of the half. But the bench was incredible in the first half, whether it was Buddy Hield, Justin Jackson, Malachi, Scal, De'Aaron, Costa, just a lot of guys played really, really well off the bench in that first half. Second half, early into the half, Ben Simmons picked up his fourth foul, so he sat for a while. But all that being said, the Kings led just 84-81 going into the fourth and final quarter in a game that had 21 lead changes and 9 ties. Back and forth they would go in the fourth quarter, and it was looking pretty good at times, but then the Kings got themselves down by a game-high 6 points after Joel Embiid hit a couple of free throws, 108-102 with 90 seconds to go, and then you just had big play after big play in which De'Aaron Fox got a bucket to make it 108-104. Then, and it was an and one, but he missed the free throw. You also then had the crazy sequence where the Kings were trying to pull a little bit closer, had the ball go all over the place, kind of trapped in the paint, lost it, regained it, threw it over to Temple, had to dodge the referee, didn't seem like he caught it cleanly, launched and hit a triple. So the Kings were down one. Then Willie Cauley-Stein, maybe one of his best defensive plays we've seen from him, denied Joel Embiid at the rim. Kings got the ball. Then you get the last second opportunity or late second opportunity. De'Aaron Fox, a clutch mid-range jumper, put the Kings up 109-108, and they played excellent defense to close out, to get the win. And inside the win, here's what you saw from the Kings. Bench points, incredible. Season high in assists, where Sacramento had 29 assists. Season low in turnovers, just 9. Season high in made threes, with 12, Randolph a season high with 20, career and season high for Justin Jackson with 19, Costa Kufis, 12 rebounds. Just a lot of good numbers collectively all the way around. It was a great win, and let's relive it.
McConnell now matches up with Hill. Screen roll feeds Cauley-Stein. Flying jam right down the gut by Willie Cauley-Stein. That was nice to see. Screen and roll execution to perfection. A steal and a breakaway. Then Simmons with the steal and an easy jam with the left hand. He has 5 points. Kings trail 20-17. Got a whistle here, and here's another one knocked down by Covington. And another foul is called on Scalabissiere. A four-point opportunity and the second consecutive possession for Covington and the Sixers. Well, that'll get you talking to yourself. Back out to Malachi. He hits the three. Malachi Richardson puts Sacramento into the lead at 47-44. So a pair of three-pointers from Malachi. Costa dumps to the near corner to Jackson. Eludes the defender. Stepping left. Launches for three. He's got another one. 8 points off the bench for Justin Jackson. Maybe that Oklahoma City game was a breakout for him because he came in with a nice spark off the bench in the first half. Zach Randolph at the right elbow. Fakes one hand off, fakes another. Now squares up, launches, and doesn't get it. But it's tipped in by De'Aaron Fox. How about that? The Fox got in the hen house, and he tipped it home. 77-73, Kings by four. Okay, now if he misses the second free throw, a jumbo jack. Kings fans are rooting for him. You hear the reaction. Free jumbo jacks for everyone. It's a winning night. The Golden 1 center. Bogdanovich for three. Scores the triple in transition. And look at his head bob as he goes up the floor saying, yeah, I really needed and deserved that. Here's the entry pass, but he's on the perimeter. He rolls to his left. He's going to the rack. He's rejected by Cauley-Stein. It's grabbed by Fox. Kings push 3-on-2. Fox into the lane, trying to create. He's fouled, and he scores. Boy, he had to have some serious hang time there. He was coming down after he tried to get that shot created, and he was just about to hit the floor before it left his hands. But De'Aaron Fox will have an and-one opportunity. Baseline feed to Jackson. Not a good pass, but Jackson saves it. He drops a pocket pass to Garrett Temple, to Willie Cauley-Stein. Now back out on the wing to Temple. Temple frees up for three. He's got the bucket. Garrett Temple makes it a one-point game with 48 seconds to go, 108-107. Kings fans coming to their feet. The drama will play out. Out to Covington for three. Front rim short. Embiid rebound. Blocked by Cauley-Stein. Diving to the floor. Fox and Šarić. It's off Šarić out of bounds. It'll be Sacramento ball with 24 seconds to go. Trailing 108-107. Ball is handed to Temple. Surveying the floor. Couple of fakes. Got to get rid of it. And he does to De'Aaron Fox. Kings went quickly the last time. Here's Fox creeping forward. He pulls up. 18-footer. De'Aaron Fox puts the Kings on top. 109-108. Still 12 and a fraction seconds to go. Ben Simmons brings it up. He drives to the free throw line. Dumps it out to Redick. Smothered there on the perimeter by Fox. Gives to Embiid. Embiid. Step back, Jay, off the iron. What a rebound! Pulled down by Justin Jackson as time expires, and the Sacramento Kings rally to get the win, 109-108. De'Aaron Fox with his first NBA game winner. Stone cold nerves right there by the youngster from Kentucky. Literally mobbed by his teammates, now headed off the floor, and the Kings get back-to-back wins on the home floor at 109-108.
All right, before we hear from the hero, De'Aaron Fox, I do want to remind you to this weekend think about the entirety of this network. If you want to get caught up on the latest of your football teams, Locked On Raiders, Locked On Niners, check it out each and every day. Our network provides lots of different content for you, whether it's NBA, fantasy, NFL, it's all on the Locked On Network. Right after the game, De'Aaron Fox joined KD Christensen on the television side after his first career game winner.
De'Aaron Fox, just hit your first NBA game winner. So first of all, tell us how that feels.
It feels great.
I mean, my teammates had so much confidence in me. You know, I missed a lot of free throws today. And, you know, G-Temp kept saying, next play, don't worry about that. And, you know, he backed off, and that's a shot that I'm extremely comfortable taking.
The last three times that you had the ball in your hands, you attacked the paint every single time. Obviously, you hit that pull-up elbow jumper right there. Just what was going through your mind as the game was winding down in terms of how you were going to attack it?
Just keep getting in the lane. I was getting in the lane all game. The first half, it was a lot of kickouts, getting my team shots. And second half, I scored a bit more, got to the free throw line, just have to make those free throws. But, man, I just need to stay in attack mode. And, that's what my coaches and my teammates love it.
All in all, we're going to remember De'Aaron Fox as game winner, but he was 4 of 13, didn't have the best shooting day. He was aggressive. He got to the line seven times. He talked about how many free throws he missed. He missed four. The Kings, if they did lose the game, they were going to blame the foul line where they were 17 of 28, but they didn't have to blame it because they got the win, 109-108. And afterwards, a very pleased Dave Yeager chatted with the media.
How much do you think the win on Tuesday was kind of the confidence boost that this young team kind of needed heading into today and had a lot to do with kind of their performance and resilience?
You know, first of all, it's a relief, you know, to kind of break a losing streak. And secondly, we've been pretty resilient, but we have those stretches in games and you know, teams just kind of overwhelm us. You know, sometimes we struggle to score. And so, you know, coming back against a good team like Oklahoma City, I think does give you some confidence and that, you know, I'm not afraid to spin players in and out and try different guys. And everybody's, you know, I think that's one of the benefits of playing 10 guys. You know, it's different guys on different nights. You go out there and you play as hard as you can. Some nights you're really good and you still don't get as much burn as you think you should. And some nights, you know, I thought we found the right guys tonight. I thought a lot of guys made some big plays. We really got sticky offensively and struggled to score. But the grit that we showed, especially the last 4 minutes, Willie Cauley-Stein taking hits, getting block shots, grabbing loose balls, De'Aaron getting in the lane and kind of putting some stress on them. They're a good team. Brett does a great job. Ben Simmons is going to be a handful for so long. It's not fair. You're not supposed to be that skilled at that size. And Joel as well. And they've got a nice team. And you know, I'm really proud of our guys. We stuck together, and somehow or other, we were down one with a little bit to go because I thought it was going to get away from us there. But we got some hustle plays, like I said, and, you know, Zach gets an offensive rebound, and we hung on to some loose balls at 50-50 balls that were important.
You said before the game that you always like to have at least one of the veterans on the floor with the young guys, and during stretches tonight, you had Costa Koufos out there with some of the young guys, and he not only made some big offensive plays but did a really good job on Embiid. Can you just talk about what he's been able to offer you guys on the floor but also with that young group?
Yeah, I was pretty certain he was going to have a good game. I've been around him for a long time. He wasn't real happy about the other night. I knew he'd be pretty focused, and I think that playing him on Embiid was a good matchup. And it's a different look than Willie. You know, Willie, the, you know, bouncy and stringy and athletic, and not say Costa's not athletic, but Costa's got more girth to be able to fight him off of spots. So I thought he did a great job setting screens and rebounding for us and finishing around the rim, and it was great to see for Costa.
Coach talked about the toughness, the grit, I think is the word he used, the grit of the team. They showed it. You think about those plays late that we highlighted earlier and then you heard the audio of, in which Willie Cauley-Stein block at the rim. They chase down a loose ball. It goes off of Philadelphia. The 50-50 plays, it felt late. The Kings got all of them, and they were intense. They played hard. The effort was there. The young guys were good. The veterans that made enough plays. And it just all the way through, it was fun to witness, right, what these guys were doing, how they were competing, and how they really stuck with the game. All right, we're going to get our Friday mailbag coming your way in a moment. Want you to chime in on that. It's easy to do, jason.ross@cbsradio.com or at jasonross1140 if you want to get questions to me for our Friday mailbag. All right, so it's mailbag time. A little quiet this week on the mailbag, and that's fine. So we got one question this week. We're going to take it here, and it's from Andy. Andy says, "Hey, Jay Ross, thank you for your continued Sacramento Kings coverage. This two-part question is about George Hill. I, like most people, am baffled and a little concerned with his early season performance. Taking the long view, it is super early in the season, and he may very well end up being fine and regaining his typical play. Now, I may be in the minority on this opinion, but I thought he was a strong signing given all the youngsters we had coming into this season, especially with the important rookies at point guard needing a mentor. I was thrilled that Vlade snagged a top-tier free agent at that position. My questions are this about selling high on him. After hearing your discussion with Sam Amick yesterday regarding the Thunder's struggles and lacking depth after their big three, coupled with being a supposedly top four or five team in the West, I started to think about other teams in the West or East that might be struggling out of the gate and surveying their needs. Should we sell high on George and try to get back that first-round pick in 2019? That's one question. Obviously, all this would come down to dealing with teams that have and are willing to give up a 2019 first-rounder plus whatever salary filler for a guy like Hill. But I know Hill has a stellar reputation around the league, and everybody knows what he can do. So his slow start to this season would not necessarily affect that, but it might if his slump continues to drag on in a system that might not be right for him. So I find myself thinking that the Kings could sell high on George. Then, of course, there's also the value of what he brings as a mentor. I've heard Fox say that he has been invaluable as a veteran voice for him. So the other part of my question would be, when do you think a good time is, assuming we trade him, to let the rookies take the wheel? Thanks in advance. All right, Andy. Well, two parts of your question. The first part is, should we sell high on George and try to get back that first-round pick in 2019? I think there's potential to do that. I don't know if they're looking to do it now. George Hill, you're right, is not playing well. I don't have a great answer for that. One area that I'm George Hill probably won't say this, and I don't know it's to be true for sure, but last year he was injured. He got hurt his toe, and a couple reports, a couple different people I know from Utah are wondering how much that might linger into this season. He has not said it. I don't know that it's there, but maybe it's something that's not allowing him to thrive as much as he would. But I just haven't seen a guy, but with the exception of the game maybe against Dallas in the first game, I thought he played really well. It's just a couple of games out of 10 or 11 here where he's looked strong or looked more like the regular George Hill. Another part of what George Hill might be is when he's your third or fourth option of a team that looks pretty good, you know, when he was with Indiana or what he was with Utah, San Antonio might have been a later option than that. I think he can kind of thrive. Here he's the highest paid player. I think we all had, you know, expectations for him. And I don't know that he's their best player, but I think a lot of people would say he is. Well, he's certainly not playing like it. And he's never been a huge stat stuffer as far as points. I know last year he had a good statistical year point-wise, but I think he can still impact a game. I think he needs to impact a game more offensively than he has been. He is a good leader, as you assessed and addressed there in the question. But I would look at all things. I mean, I really think this team shouldn't have one plan and stick to it. I think it should be fluid, should have a lot of different tentacles and outlets and different ways to go. If you find the right deal, sure, I'd look at dealing him. Your second part is, when should the youngsters take the wheel? I kind of like the mix that they're doing. I still would like a little bit more of a heavier minute distribution, maybe for a top eight players that Coach Yeager has. But again, on Thursday night, he played 11, and the lowest minutes was 7 for Malachi. The highest, I don't think anybody got 30. No, there's a 3 or 4 guys around 29. I think we'd see better production in numbers if they trimmed it to 8 and a few guys played in the 30, 35 range. I don't know if it'd be better for them, but again, they're trying to groom multiple people, grow people, see what they've got going forward. It's not an easy task. It really isn't. But I think when they win, it all looks better like they have the last couple of games. So I would be for a point, especially if later in the year, you know, if the team is way out of it record-wise, that might be the time. And, you know, you could look at, honestly, a lot of the veterans to move. Could someone take on Temple? Could someone take on Costa? Could someone take on George Hill? I think there's a lot of ways to look to still improve this team for the long term and even in the short term. But right now, with 2 straight wins, it's looking okay and a long way to go. But hopefully they can go out on this road trip in New York, Washington, and Atlanta and find a way to get a win or two, which would be a lot of fun to keep this little mini momentum going. Thank you for your question. Thank you guys for listening this week. We're back again next week for more editions of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.